I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today and every weekday at 3 o'clock. We have some things to cover today. This past recent couple of days, we saw Mother's Day. Mother's Day has traditionally been a day where we think about our moms, we say thank you to our moms, we realize how blessed we are to have our moms. And the same thing happened at our house. I got to say, you know, my wife Kathleen has been the best mom a kid could have. And, you know, to be a good mom means you got to do all the things that the kids need, not just what they want. Okay? And she has been a rock for our family in always doing the right thing. First and foremost, that's what Kathy does. She does the right thing. She doesn't worry about herself. And, you know, a lot of people say that. Oh, I'm selfless and I do what's right. Really, most of us don't. You know, Kathleen really lives by that. But I don't think she does it because she thinks about doing it. I think that's just the way she is. And I couldn't be more grateful for my beautiful, wonderful, smart, brilliant, and very organized wife, Kathleen. So Mother's Day this past year brought us a lot of great joys because we had a chance to think about the future and where we're going at this point in our lives and how things are. And I am very grateful for the love she has shown to my children. You know, as a father, you think you have certain roles, things that you want to do for the kids, and they're important. Father's roles are extremely important. The lessons we can teach our kids, the way we think about things. But the mom is the center of the family. You know, the dad might be the leader, and people can argue about that. But in the traditional family, the mom is really the center. You know, back in the day, I remember hearing a funny saying, and they said, the father might be the head of the family, but the mother is the neck. And the neck turns the head whichever way it wants it to go. So I know, very controversial to say these things, isn't it? In our day and age, that there are actually important roles for everyone in the family, and we're all not just exactly the same. You know, now does that mean that there's a lot of moms out there that have to do the roles of both mom and dad? And they do them extremely well. My own mother, as many of you know who've listened here Chasing Justice, my dad passed away at a very young age. That left my mom here really for me and my brother. And she was excellent. She was an excellent, loving mom. So I want to thank all the moms out there that are taking care of their families, taking care of their kids. And for all the ladies who act like moms, for the rest of us. You know, how many of my friends' moms were like a second mom to me? You know, I even called them mom. I'm sure some of you even did that. And these holidays are important for us to remember the important people in our families. Moms and dads are very important. And, you know, I'm not going to take the tack that alternate kind of families can't also be valuable. I'm not willing to go there because I'm not living in one of those families. And I'm sure that love is love. And that's all I'm going to say. Love is love. And if you love your kids, you love your family, they love you back. That's better than being alone out in the world. So I'm glad we have this season of Mother's Day and Father's Day. And I remember my mom, who's in heaven now. And Corrine, I miss you. And thank you for all you did for me. Kathleen, thank you do for us every single day for me and the kids. And for all the moms out there, have a great spring season. Because you know what? It's really Mother's Day every day. All right, so now that we've done that, and it was important for me to do that. Because, you know, these holidays, these spring holidays come and go. Easter's very important. And Mother's Day, Father's Day, as we start to get into the holidays. We have Memorial Day coming up. That's another one. You know, if we think about these holidays, Memorial Day is to memorialize the acts of people and what people have done. We're remembering what others have done And that's important. We have to recognize sacrifice and decency and love wherever we can find it in our society. Without that, our society will not hold together. So I have an interesting thing. I'm looking through the news, and I saw that I guess one of the traditions in the House of Representatives is that occasionally somebody will take the place of the speaker, and they'll get to make an announcement as the speaker, temporary speaker. They get to wield the and, you know, say something. And that's an important thing, I think. It's interesting. Our House of Representatives, because they only serve for 2 years at a time, was designed so that all of us, you and me, could go and serve our government for a short period of time. 2 years is a relatively short period of time. We would bring our experience from our lives. We would bring the wisdom from our lives. We would bring our ideas that we talk about around the kitchen table and in our neighborhood and our communities. And we would bring them to Washington. And we would be a part of our government. You know, the senators, they serve for the, you know, for 6 years. And the president is a 4-year with 2 terms allowed. And that's good. But the House of Representatives is unique. That's supposed to be us. So we're supposed to, you know, take our turn to our responsibility, go to Washington, make our voice heard, and then we go back to our lives. That's really the idea. That's the concept, and that's why it's every 2 years. Unfortunately, the way the modern world has worked out is if you get elected to a House of Representatives seat, depending on the makeup of your district, you could be there for 20, 30, 40 years, and you're a career politician. There's no longer room for the regular people to go to Washington. It's also very expensive to run. But I'm getting a little distracted. What I saw the other day was that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was allowed to sit in at the end of one of the sessions as the speaker. She got to wield the gavel, make an announcement, and move on. And I know a lot of people are making fun of her, you know, saying that. They're making fun of trying to put together the fact that, you know, her wing of the party, this really radical socialist wing, is now taking place of Nancy Pelosi. And I've seen a lot of those comments. I have to take a different take on it. I try and see things for what they are. I don't allow my political beliefs to guide everything. I watch all kinds of news. I look to see where I'm wrong in my opinion. I look to update my opinion. I look to make sure I have facts. And I'm clear on what I think and believe. And when I looked and I saw that, and I saw AOC, or AOC, as the great one, Mark Levin, calls her, when I saw AOC up there making announcement as the Speaker of the House, temporary as it was, and wielding the gavel, I actually thought it was pretty cool. Now, not because of AOC's political beliefs, not because she's a socialist, but because, in reality, she is one of us. We may not agree with what she thinks, but she was just a regular person. She was a bartender. And she came in and she beat out a lifelong career Democrat because her people swept her into power. Her community, her local community, decided to vote for her. Now, we might think their ideas are not that great, but the fact is that here is a regular citizen. This young woman, and I think she's the youngest person ever to sit in that position. This young woman with these, you know, ideas gets swept into the government. You and I didn't get swept into government. She did. She's become a congressperson representing her people. And she had the honor and the privilege to sit at the dais there, sit at the podium as the temporary Speaker of the House, make an announcement and wield the gavel. I think that is absolutely fantastic that our government, our form of government, allows for that. Because this young lady, she is one of us. She's just a citizen. You know, a year and a half ago, she was tending bar and running her mouth about how she thinks things should be, just like lots of us do. Kind of like what I do here on the radio, right? I tell you what I think about things. Well, she was doing that too, only she got elected, and she's now in the House of Representatives. And like I said, and I can't say it enough, aside from her socialist beliefs, which I have no part of, I see it all wrong. But seeing her there as a American citizen who got voted into to the government and to wield that power and to wield that gavel, I thought was fantastic. So if everybody's out there making fun of her, And we made fun of her here too, okay? We kind of get it. But the reality is, that's an awesome thing. And I say, hey, good for us as Americans that we can do that. So I wanted to cover that. I want to make sure we go there. The next thing I want to talk about is, here on Chasing Justice, one of the things that I try to bring to the table is my investigative experience. My life as a criminal investigator, as an interviewer, as someone who's dealt with the law, dealt with the statutes of the state and federal law, and look at how justice really works. This former leader of the FBI, James Comey, I got to tell you, I don't really get this guy. I mean, just on face value, it looks like he has done some really bad things. And he keeps going on these shows. He keeps showing up there. Now, I know that in the big picture, our friends on the left right now are very concerned because they know that Attorney General Bob Barr is in the background conducting some very serious investigations that could really upend a lot of things. And we've talked about this a couple of times here. You know, my concerns that it's we're not going to get the satisfaction that we're all looking for, that they're going to find a way to move on beyond this. But I got to tell you, I don't know. It seems as days go by, more and more people I'm hearing from, sounds like maybe he really is doing the right thing. Now, maybe the investigation will be really good. Maybe he'll lay out all these facts, and then there'll be no indictments, there'll be no arrest, there'll be no declaration. And this is what we're looking for. I think most of us on the right here are looking for, not so much for people to go to jail, although if that's what they deserve, that's what they deserve. I don't think we're looking for people to go to jail. We're looking for a declaration that they were wrong, that these people did bad things, that they made up stuff that they say about President Trump, but really about all of us. They call us names. They attack us as haters. They attack us as people who are unworthy. They attack our traditions. They attack the things we believe in, traditional America, family, church, God, all those things. They make fun of us. And we're looking for somebody to stand up and say, no, you're wrong. We're not wrong. You know? And I think if we got that, that would go a long way to maybe helping all of us move on. The problem is, even if we get that, is it going to change things? That's the thing that has to change. You know, as I outline my thoughts here, and I know I dance all over the place, so some of you are saying, really, Lieutenant Joe, you outline these things? I actually do, but it's more of a stream of consciousness because everything is really interrelated. Everything in your life, your thoughts, things that go together, they're all interrelated. And when I see what goes on, and I'm wondering, are they actually going to change things in the future? Is the future going to change? Are we going to come out of this mess with indictments, no indictments, declarations of right and wrong? And are we going to say, okay, we are really going the wrong way here. We need to readjust how we do this politics thing across our country so that we can move forward in a proper way. Because you know what? It feels like it's a game. It feels like it's a joke. I mean, it feels like the way we run, the way our politicians run this, feels like a bad joke with serious consequences. I mean, you watch and you see the hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means nothing anymore. You know, there was a time when if you were labeled a hypocrite, that was career destroying, especially if people had some kind of proof that you were hypocritical. That would ruin your credibility. But it doesn't. It doesn't anymore. That's another one of those. It's another one of those chip away things at our society that's chipping away at a credibility of who we are. Because right now, you look, the Democrats have decided that they're going to probably, they voted to hold Bob Barr in contempt, the Attorney General. And now the House is going to vote on it. And you know how it's going to go. It's going to go down right down party lines. It's going to go, Democrats are in control, so they're going to probably vote to, go after him. And we're all going to sit here and say they're going to hold him in contempt of Congress. Now, in the long term, probably nothing's going to happen to him, and it could be a couple of years down the road before we see the end of it, but they're going to hold him in contempt of Congress. Well, you look, just a couple of years ago, the exact same Democrats that are screaming from the top of the stairways there that, you know, they have to have this paper, they have to have that, and the president is hiding, and the president is doing all this. You go back a couple of years ago when they went after President Obama's attorney general, Mr. Holder. They were saying exactly the opposite things. This isn't right. You can't hold the attorney general in contempt. And, you know, the Republicans are only doing this because it's a show and it's a game. Well, now we switch presidents, switch parties that are hold the presidency and the Congress. And you look and you see the same exact people who were saying things 2 years ago are saying the exact opposite today. It's completely hypocritical. It is disgustingly hypocritical, which makes it a farce. And this is my point. This is not a game. These are our we are the United States of America, the superpower of the world, who may be called on at some point to save the world again. And we're arguing over nonsense. Our public officials are a joke. It is terrible. And as I'm watching this, I'm saying, this is not a game. This political correctness that everything has to be a certain way. Our lives are not a joke and a game, but that's how these people are dealing with it. So the only thing we can do is we can say to our own party, whichever party you belong to, Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter. We, the people, have to stand up to them and say, enough with this nonsense. Can we please act like adults? And I hate that saying, act like adults. But it's true. You watch it. This is like high school. You watch these idiots in Congress and the Senate. They're acting like high school kids. The way they're arguing over nonsense. He's a liar. He's a this and that's a no good. And this is it's absolutely unnerving as a people that we should see this out of our government. But yet we see it every single day. It's a game. And it's a dangerous game that they're playing in Washington. I guess we should say that with all the danger that's around us, North Korea, the Chinese, the Muslim radicals who want to blow us up, the crime that we have in some of our cities and streets, the things that are negative, the things that can really hurt you, are ignored over this nonsense game of pointing fingers and political points. We have got to get these people out of office. Whatever party you're in, we should primary every single one of them and get them out. If you're a Republican, you want more Republicans, have a primary. Put a new Republican in if they don't have backbone. If you're a Democrat, you want to vote Democrat, good. Get rid of the people that are there. Put somebody else in there. Change these people up once in a while. Because it's that entrenched power that has allowed them to become the fools we see them being every single day. They are not doing the work for you and me. They are endangering all of us. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back for round two on Chasing Justice in a minute.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right. Thank you, Matthew McConaughey. Welcome back to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we're back now for segment two. So I'm upbeat this week. All right, I'm really upbeat. I hope you can hear that in my voice. I'm excited about some things. There's a lot going on out there. I'm getting myself incensed sometimes over what goes on, but that's because I'm trying to be dialed in. I'm trying to care. I'm trying to pay attention. I'm trying to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And one of the ways that we can be part of the solution is by understanding what's going on around us, by thinking, by taking some time to clarify what do we really believe? What are our core values? You know, a lot of the courses that I teach come down to concepts. You know, people need to understand a concept before they can move ahead with anything that they learn. So a lot of what we do in chasing justice and liberty and freedom and all that is to understand the concepts and to understand our own personal core values. What are our core values? What do you really believe? Now, I know a lot of people are very well-meaning, they're intelligent, and they have points of view that they hold very dearly. But when you start to peel away that onion and find out, well, why do you believe that? That's where they don't always have a lot of backup for their position. It's either something that they've traditionally always believed, something they learned from their family. It's something they learned from their community, how they feel as a community. But when they look at themselves and I say, okay, well, why do you think that? They often have like a little bit of a blank stare. Well, because that's the way it is, or because that's what I believe. I mean, those are nice answers, but they really don't get us to the core. Understanding the core of what goes on and your core beliefs is extremely important to you. You have to understand the center, what makes you tick. And that's what we do. That's how we become part of the solution and not a part of the problem, by understanding where we fit into this whole thing. So before we broke in the last segment, I was talking about Comey and how he has really been amazing on all these shows. And we look what he did. On face value, we see that we know he took some notes about his conversation with the president. Now, as the head of the FBI, when he takes notes about conversations with the president of the United States, those are government records. Those are, I would say, top secret. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but this is what I've heard, and I would believe they would be top secret. Anytime you have a conversation with the President of the United States, that would have to be, other unless you're talking about, you know, the weather or a sports team or something. When you're talking about something about the government, and in this case, he was talking about the dossier and how it was on, you know, this is what the president should be aware of goes on out there. Then he takes those notes, and he gives them to a reporter. He leaks them to a reporter. So that will get out in the public, and that will start the call for a special prosecutor. That in and of itself is a crime. Now, the fact that he could do it and nothing has happened to him, doesn't that open the door to the next person that wants to do it? You know, so we hear in the background, Bob Barr has this investigation going on to try and find these leakers. You know, people that leak all of this stuff out. And we just saw a guy indicted the other day, a young man, and I wish I could remember, but it wasn't involved with the presidential politics. It was another leaking that he did, and he got indicted. So they do look at these people. They do go after them when they leak. But here's Comey, who leaked as the head of the FBI. A violation of his oath, a violation of his position, and a violation of you and me. We put faith in the FBI, and here's this guy doing that. So we look at him, and he's on these shows, and he's going on, he's running his mouth. And they even asked him the other day, I don't remember what show he was on, but I was watching him, and they said, so do you think the president colluded with the Russians? And he looks at the camera, as straight as could be, and says, I don't know. Well, if you don't know now, the report came out, Mueller's report came out, said he did not collude. So what are you saying about Mueller? You know, the guy you're best friends with, the guy you think is a great man, a guy who's, you know, honest and integrity. His report says there was no collusion. So for Comey to come out now and say, I don't know if there was collusion. What does that say about him? Why are they giving him any play whatsoever? Obviously, he's not getting play on more conservative outlets. He's getting play on these liberals because they want to keep this going. They're still going to find something, which I think is actually pretty funny. If it wasn't so serious, along with my last point, that this is not a game. We're playing a game with this. Okay? This is foolish and dangerous. But I just think it's amazing. And I'd like to see where that's going to come out. I'd like to see Bob Barr, you know, and I said this, I know I'm repeating myself and I apologize, but it's a strong feeling, is that we shouldn't know exactly what's going on in the investigation, because that's not how investigations work. You don't put everything out there and tell everybody. But we can be given some information, like there is an investigation, and he said he's investigating things. See, I'm going around in a circle here. I'm trying to find a way that would satisfy us, that we know that something's happening, because I do fear that we're going to find it very dissatisfying when it finally comes out, that they're not really going to do the right thing. So I'm going to put away my concern about that and just say, I hope Bob Barr does the right thing and these investigations are moving forward. But Comey, this guy, right off the bat, should be indicted for leaking, let alone signing the warrants that he knew were bad. You know, I want to tell you, for all of those people out there who have not gone to a judge and asked for a search warrant or a communication data warrant, any kind of warrant where you're going to be looking into people's lives or listening into them on the phone or looking at their phone records or their emails or whatever, you know, spying, which is another thing. You know, they're going crazy over this word spying because it sounds so bad. What else is it? When you get a search warrant from a judge to say you want to listen in on somebody's phone calls, aren't you spying on them? Aren't you listening in? Are you going, hey, everybody, I'm on the line with you just so you know. I'm listening in to what you say and the judge says I can listen. No, of course not. You do it surreptitiously. You connect in silently so you can listen to hear things that are going on that you're not supposed to know. You're spying. Okay? But the Democrats are in such a panic over the word spying because it starts to peel away at the story and the truth starts to be revealed. And it really is a horrific truth. It's unbelievable what our government did here. So that's why we're hoping it comes out. So for those who haven't gone to a judge, what you have to do is you have to put together an affidavit. Now, an affidavit is a legal document of a statement of something you want to say in the course of in the position of a search warrant. What you're doing is you're putting down the facts of the case that you're trying to show. This is going to lead to probable cause that a crime has been committed, who has done it, and that there's evidence and where that evidence would be. And this is why you need to go seize it with a search warrant. You know, the Fourth Amendment protects us from unreasonable search and seizure. This was created by our forefathers and the founders to make sure that the king couldn't just kick in your door and come in and take stuff from you. There had to be a uninvolved court eyeball to look at what you wanted to do, what the government wants to do, as far as seizing your papers, your person, your personal documents and items. And they could look at it with an unconnected set of eyes and see, is there really probable cause here to do this? Or is this just a sham? So you write out your affidavit. All right, so let's use an example, because trying to use the example for what they might have used for the FISA warrant could get more confusing if you're not familiar with it. Well, I'll choose a topic everybody understands. Say you are the detective involved in a drug unit. So you are the chasing justice detectives right now, everybody. And you have information from either a concerned citizen, someone who lives in your community, who wants to come and tell you, hey, listen, I think Bob Jones at 123 Main Street is selling drugs. I've heard from different people that he sells cocaine, he sells marijuana, and he sells fentanyl. And that's really bad for our community, and I think the police should do something about it. Okay, so that's a concerned citizen. Now, the police now have this information that a crime might be taking place at 123 Main Street by Bob Jones. Now, does that mean they can go over and kick in Bob Jones's door and start searching his house? Because, hey, somebody said you got drugs here. No, that would not be appropriate, because anybody could walk into the police and say, hey, listen, I think Lieutenant Pangaro is selling drugs and you should go get him. Now, I want people kicking in my door if I'm not doing that? No. So the court has wisely set this up, the whole Constitution set this up, that you have to have probable cause. Probable cause means more of showing that something is happening than it isn't, okay? That's probable cause. So what you would have to do is, the police now have this information. They get information from a concerned citizen. Now they go out there with their eyeballs and they set up a surveillance. Now, the police are allowed to surveil you, spy on you in public places. We see this all the time. Undercover officers, if there's a large crowd, you know there's cops in that crowd. They're dressed down. They're dressed like normal citizens. But they're there looking to see if somebody's up to no good. So the police are allowed to park their police car, marked or unmarked, anywhere in the community that they have a right to be in. So they can park on the street and watch Bob Jones's house and see what goes on. So maybe our concerned citizen gave more information and said, every day between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the afternoon, cars pull up filled with young people, and one or two of them runs up to the front door. I've seen money exchanged. I've seen him giving them something. They run back to the car and they drive away. And you say, okay. And this happens between 3 and 6 o'clock at night? Okay. So the officers go out there and they set up surveillance. They're spying on Bob Jones's house. And they're looking to see what they see. Now, the police have more training than the average citizen. But the citizen has some reason to believe it's drugs. Maybe it's not drugs. Maybe Bob Jones is selling Tupperware. And these are young people picking up their Tupperware. Right? So we can't assume just because somebody says something that it's correct. But the police have more training. They have training in what a hand-to-hand drug transaction might look like. They have some training to see how drugs might be packaged. So if they make that observation, they're going a long way to confirm the concerned citizen's information. So the police set up and they're watching and they see carloads of young people pull up, run up to the door. They see an exchange of something. To the officer's trained eye, it looks like hand-to-hand drug transactions. Not positive because they're not on the porch taking the package from Mr. Jones. They're watching these things take place. So the officer looks at that. Maybe they see that happen 5 or 6 times. Maybe one of those young people leaving peels out their wheels, runs a red light, does some other infraction of the law, and a police car pulls them over. And the police officer starts talking to them. And in the course of that conversation, these young people say, well, we were over at Bob Jones's house over there, and we bought some drugs, and here's the drugs, officer. And believe it or not, people actually do that. They tell you what they did, and they give you the drugs without any coercion, without any beating, without anything. Sometimes people just feel guilty and they'll tell you. So in our case, the officer finds out that, hey, they bought some cocaine from Bob Jones. So they arrest these young people. They take them in. They take a statement from them. Now you have a concerned citizen who's told you something. You have the police who went out there and made observation, and it looked to them like drug dealing. Then you made an arrest of somebody coming from Bob Jones's house who tells you they bought drugs from Bob Jones, and they give you a statement. Now you take all of that information and you put that in your affidavit, okay? So we are telling the judge, Your Honor, we received information that Bob Jones was selling drugs. The officers went out there. We made observations where we believe we observed illegal sale of drugs. We arrested someone with drugs who said they bought them from Bob Jones. And maybe that person that they arrested makes a phone call that the police listen into, because police are allowed to listen to a phone call without a warrant. They can listen into you talking to somebody. And you call up and say, hey, Bob, listen, I'd like to come back for some more cocaine later tonight. And Bob says, oh, no good today, man, but I'll be good tomorrow. You can come after 3 o'clock. I'll have a good package ready. Okay, excellent. Thank you, Bob. So now the officers put that in their affidavit. So the judge can read this and get the impression, based on his own reading of the facts, that, well, based on what the officers have done here, it seems to me that it's 51% for, 49% against, that Bob Jones is most likely committing a crime by selling illegal narcotics from his house between 3 and 6 p.m. And based on that last phone call, Bob Jones said he would have a package, which the police tell me in their understanding of drug jargon, that means drugs. He would have the drugs at his house after 3 o'clock tomorrow. Therefore, I think the police have established probable cause to believe that there will be illegal drugs for sale at Bob Jones's house at 123 Main Street tomorrow at 3 p.m. Therefore, the judge issues a search warrant for Bob Jones's house at 123 Main Street. And the judge tells them, when would you like to serve this warrant? And they say, anytime from 3 p.m. until midnight, or whatever time they choose. And then the judge signs the affidavit, and then he signs the search warrant and allows the officers to go there and now search Bob Jones's house. All those protections, all those steps that you had to go through were designed to protect Bob Jones, because this wasn't the cops just getting info and kicking his door after the info. This wasn't the officers just seeing what they thought was a hand-to-hand and running up and kicking in his door and locking him up. His house is a place of should be security. Everyone should be secure in their person, their places, and their things, unless a judge issue a warrant for the government, which who the police are, to go and search it. So this is a long-winded way of explaining what has to happen. All along the way, when you're in front of that judge, and this is the important part, all along that way, when you get in front of that judge, he asks you to raise your hand and swear that everything you're about to tell me is the truth and nothing but the truth. And you swear that this is all true on your oath and your honor. Now, based on all of that, the judge issues the warrant. The next day at 3 o'clock, you go to Bob Jones's house, you knock on the door, he answers the door, you show him the search warrant, you now go in, you secure the house, you find the drugs, you arrest him. Because there's your proof, there's the drugs in the house, your search warrant was good, the loop is closed. That is protection for Bob Jones. Because you can't just run up and search people. That's not how we are in America. We don't have a tyrannical state where the government does whatever they want. But I knew that when I was raising my hand to swear that everything in that affidavit was true, I knew how serious that was. Because I knew if I lied in that affidavit, that I could be in big, big trouble. Because the judge would be very upset because he issued a warrant to go search somebody's house based on lies, and I would be held accountable that I lied, okay? So say the people never called me, right? The people never called to tell me they saw what they thought was drugs. I just had a feeling Bob Jones was selling drugs, but I wrote in my affidavit, somebody called me, a concerned citizen. Then say I didn't make observations of hand-to-hands. I just said I did. And then number three, say one of my partners says to me, hey, you know what? Let's just say we got a phone call that says there's drugs over there. And I write that in the affidavit. Then I go to the judge and I swear to it. And it comes out later on that, guess what? I made that all up and a judge issued a search warrant. Guess who'd be going to jail then? That's right. The police. So when I see that they got this search warrant to go after the Trump campaign, and it turns out it was with nonsense, it was with made up things that they knew were not true. This is how we allow bad police work to take place. Imagine if somebody did that to you. They made up all that stuff and they kicked in your door because they wanted to look at your bank accounts or they want to look into your house. You wouldn't be too happy with it, would you? It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be America. But I have a feeling that's what happened here when they surveilled, spied, and got a bunch of bogus warrants to look into the Trump campaign. And that's why it's all wrong and it's all bad. And we will be back with round three here on Chasing Justice, now that we're all caught up to speed on how you get a search warrant.
Pat Boone here for the folks at Swiss America. Rock solid foundations are vital in life, in business, and in finance, because in the end, only what we've built on a firm foundation will withstand the storms of life. Today, the economic storms are raging and the foundations of everything are being tested. The world economy has never looked shakier. And gold, the world's oldest and most trusted form of money, is also grabbing headlines. Now is the time to put your future on a rock-solid foundation. Swiss America will help you create an indestructible asset today. Discover the timeless truth about gold and silver by calling Swiss America or visiting online at SwissAmerica.com.
800-978-3901. Once again, that's 800-978-3901.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. I want to tell everybody what I tell you all the time. You have to go to www.americaoutloud.com. Go there and take a listen. You can hear live programs every day, all the time. Tremendous programs of conversation, ideas, thoughts, the voice of American freedom. This station is dedicated to making sure ideas, points of view, and thoughts come to you fresh. And it's because it's an important thing. If we don't hear each other and we don't have conversation, we have a problem. If you can't catch the live show, then you can go and look at the podcasts. So get the AmericaOutloud.com radio station for your phone, for any of your devices. And you can also go to the podcasts and listen to any of the shows. You want to go back and listen to Lieutenant Randy or another viewpoint. Maybe you want to hear previous editions of Chasing Justice. They're all out there for you. Go and enjoy it. You know, the other thing I like to talk about is TrueSecurityDesign.com. That's my company. I like to talk about it. We are dedicated to safety and security. That is what we do, whether it's for schools, businesses, houses of worship, or any place that people gather. What we do is we go in, we give you a fresh set of unbiased eyes to look at your security profile, and then we help you mitigate any weaknesses you have, enhance your strengths, and set up a roadmap to repair what goes on. So www.truesecuritydesign.com. We also have a lot of content on there. So if you go on there, you can see a lot of the different articles. Some of my America Out Loud articles are on there. Some of the other writings I've done for things are on there as well. So go take a look. AmericaOutloud.com. Thank you. All right. So I wanted to talk for a couple of minutes, since we're talking today about the season of loving, remembering people that care about us, you know, moms and dads and Memorial Day and all of this kind of stuff that we want to remember people who have done things for us. I wanted to talk about something, a bill that just came out, a legal law in the state of Georgia. A little controversy to it, which I don't understand the controversy, but I can understand the point of view. All right, so it's called the Heartbeat Law. All right, so this is a new law just signed into being the other day by the governor, which basically states as soon as you can hear a heartbeat in a baby inside her mother or his mother, there's no more abortion after that. The heartbeat indicates that's the starting point when abortion is no longer legal. Now, we go round and round with this abortion debate, and the reality is this: it's really not about telling women what to do with their bodies. It's really not. I have women in my life that I love and I adore, and I do not want to tell them what to do with their bodies. I have a daughter. I don't want anybody telling her what to do with her body. That is not the point. That's an argument that people make to try and shut people down. All that I am saying from my personal point of view is why I find abortion so difficult, is because nobody is speaking up for the baby. And make no mistake, that's what it is. It's a baby. It's a real live baby. It's not a lump of cells. It's not some other, you know, strange thing that's just inside there. It's a baby. And no one is speaking up for the baby. We now know there's been several reports recently where we see that, imagine that, the baby, when you're ripping it apart, and I hate to be so graphic, actually feels pain. So this is a real living creature. This is a human being. This is not, some other nebulous type of thing. And that's all I'm trying to say, is we're trying to speak up for the baby, not to tell women what to do. There's a lot of things women can do before they get pregnant. Okay? And there's a commentary out there that said, well, if men could get pregnant, there'd be no question ever that abortion would always be legal. And you know what? I'm not going to say that that's not true, because people are the way people are. But the reality is, we're talking about, this season of Mother's Day and Father's Day, and, you know, let's just think about the baby. So this heartbeat bill says that as soon as a heartbeat is detected, abortion is no longer legal. Because we can't go after Roe versus Wade. We can't really attack it for a couple of reasons. Number one, the makeup of the court is still only 5-4 conservative. So you might find somebody on the court that just, for whatever reason, can't find enough reason to overturn Roe versus Wade and the upheaval in the country that would cause. So the court has not got enough people in favor of that to actually overturn it. And I think the legislatures, as weak as they are, they all know that too. They know that if you're going to get one bite at this apple, that's all you're going to get. You're going to get one chance to go after Roe versus Wade if they're going to do it. And they have to have the right case. They have to have the right makeup of the court. They have to have the right feeling in the country. Now, I've seen polls that show that the majority of Americans are against abortion, and a huge majority is against late-term abortion, which, when you juxtapose these newest laws that we've seen, you know, the heartbeat bill says as soon as you detect the heartbeat, abortion is illegal. That's at about 6 weeks. As opposed to, we look and we see other laws, like in Virginia, that says basically, even if the baby's born alive, we can still terminate it after it's born, if that's the decision of the mother and the doctor. So our country is now so split on this issue, And it's amazing to me that my point of view, you know, protect the baby, treat it like a baby, is considered the crazy talk. I am the one who is out of step. I am the one who has Neanderthal ways of thinking. I don't get that. It's a baby. You know, I just can't get past the fact that it's a baby. It's a human being. And you don't just go kill it. That's just my belief. We cherish the baby. We love the baby. We love life. So you know what? If you find yourself pregnant, put the baby up for adoption. I know a lot of people that have been adopted into loving, beautiful families. You know, and then the argument is, well, once the woman has the baby, she can't bear the thought of giving up the baby. Well, then keep the baby. But they say, yeah, but she'd rather abort it than have to put up with the pain of giving it up. Well, I don't know. We can't solve this problem, and I can't go into this whole topic. I just wanted to talk about the Born Alive bill. I mean, sorry, strike that. The heartbeat bill, which is unique in that it's the exact opposite of the Virginia law. So apparently 3 or 4 other states are now considering heartbeat laws exactly the same way. As soon as there's a heartbeat, that's the end of that. There'll be no more abortion. So that might be a way around it. Now, of course, that's going to end up going through the court system, and I'm sure you're going to find it in front of a liberal judge who's going to say that that's not appropriate, and he's going to strike it down, and then it'll go to another appellate court, and then eventually you get to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will have to decide. Does the community... See, this is the problem with Roe versus Wade. It's a national law, and it should be... These decisions should be left to the local communities. Now, as much as I don't like the idea of people terminating babies, that's just my opinion. My opinion, you know, is in my community, and if my community agrees with that, then my community should be able to protect our babies. If a community in the next state over decides they're not worried about protecting those babies and they want abortion, then I guess they should have it over there. That's really how this should go. This should go community by community because, you know, you're creating such a schism in our people. So I don't want to get into the whole debate on abortion. It is so difficult. But that's all I'm saying is I look at it the point of view is, you know, what about the baby? I have beautiful children. I love all my children. And they if it's a baby, if it's there, it deserves to live. That's just all. That's Lieutenant Joe's point of view. All right. I can't ram my belief down your throat. I'm just making my case, which is really how we should deal with this. Instead of calling each other names, haters, killers, all this. How about we just talk about make your case? And if your case makes the most sense, then people will hopefully go with it. So the Born Alive bill. Now, this attack on religion, which that's also, you know, what people don't like, that there's a religious connotation to this. We see the attack on religious people around the world, especially Christians. It's okay in many people's eyes to put down Christians, Catholics in particular. Boy, do they like to come after us, you know. And I was at church very recently, and I'm listening to the priest, and he's talking about, you know, all the bad things going on in the world and how we should remember to always do our best to set a good example, to live the right way. I don't see what's wrong with that. That doesn't mean everyone has to do what I do. It just means that's what my church says. And I can't find the negativity that people seem to point out, especially with Christianity. Christianity has really helped the world a lot. I don't think there's any argument there. So that's kind of what's going on. We also have these tariffs. Oh, these tariffs. They're so ugly. Everyone's ready such a panic. And this goes back to, you know, segment one here, when we talked about this is not a game. The reality is that for years, the whole world has taken advantage of the United States because we're good and decent people. So we make deals with people that don't always favor us. We've had weak leaders, no doubt about it, who have made very, very weak deals. And now we have a president who is not a lifelong politician. He's a businessman. And he sees that a bad deal doesn't benefit anyone because the people that we have bad deals with, letting them take advantage of us teaches them that they can take advantage of us. And that's not fair for future deals. So I think what President Trump is trying to do is he's trying to reset the groundwork with how all of these different countries interact with each other and specifically with the United States. A deal cannot be good for them and bad for us just because we want to make a deal. Now, the reality is, with these extra tariffs that he's putting on things, That's going to cause some difficulty, no doubt about it, in some markets of American goods. Adding these tariffs, because the Chinese are going to retaliate, they're going to not buy as much, you know, soybean. They buy so much soybean from us, and our farmers, you know, make the best soybeans in the world, no doubt about it. But they're going to stop buying so much soybeans from American farmers, and that's going to be their retaliation. That's the weapon they have. Well, you know, while this is not a fighting, you know, shooting guns at each other war, this is a trade war. We have to come to some kind of a balance. And just like if there was a hot fighting war with the Chinese, we would send our best among us, our young people, our military, would go out into the battlefield to fight for us, for justice. And we would lose a lot of them. That sacrifice, depending on the reason for the conflict, we would justify as being, yes, we lost a lot of people, but it was worth it to protect ourselves. Well, it's a similar thing. You just got a different kind of battle here. These trade wars, where we have these unfair deals, are not good for our country in the long run. They do not help our economy. They don't help our country. They don't help our people. So that might require some sacrifice to fight these battles. Now, that's easy for Lieutenant Joe to say. I don't grow soybeans, so therefore I'm not losing out on soybeans. But I think the government now has a program where they're going to try and help these farmers by giving them some subsidies to make up for what they're losing. I think as an American citizen, that has value. We have to protect our farmers. Our farmers are the feeders of America and the world. And if we expect them to sacrifice, then all the rest of us should be willing to sacrifice a little to help our farmers as we fight this battle. Because it is a nationwide battle. We need solid, strong trading partners in the world, not people that take advantage of us. You know, back in the day, China was not considered a major power. So therefore, you know, they took advantage of us, and that was part of the deal because they were a growing. They are now the number two economy in the world. They're the number two economy in the world. They're no longer a small player in the world. They're huge. And therefore, they should be treated like a huge economic superpower that they are, and not like an emerging country where they need breaks that we can give them, and sometimes the deals work in their favor more than us. And that's what we've always done. But that's not the point now. The Chinese are out there, and they are a major economic powerhouse, and we have to treat them appropriately, and they have to treat us and respect us appropriately. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So when people are out there screaming, well, we should keep the bad deal in place because it's going to hurt individual markets, I get that. I get that pain that some people are going to feel. And I think it's probably in the short run, because the reality is, when you look at the dynamics of it, America is still more powerful than the Chinese economy and military. They need the deal more than we do. Now, it's nice that we can buy all kinds of cheap stuff from them, but isn't it better that we have a fair deal that ends up, we sell twice as much soybeans, or we sell twice as many cars to them? Wouldn't that be nice if we could sell cars to them? They opened their markets. Imagine if they opened their markets and True Security Design could go to China and do stuff, right? Well, right now, it's a one-way kind of a thing. They buy a lot from us. They don't buy a lot from us, and we buy a lot from them. I think I saw the statistic, $500 billion a year, more they get from us than we do. We need fairness here. We need to work this out. The tariffs are a way to make that point. We are serious. And again, I'll go back to my opening concern that this is not a game. The rest of the world doesn't play these softy games. The Chinese, the North Koreans, these other countries that we're in conflict with, they don't play these kind of games. They play hardball. And the United States, oh, we're all flowery, and let's do the right thing, and let's not make anybody mad, and let's not have an enemy, and let's all get along. It's not how the world works with some things. We're kidding ourselves. This is the kind of nonsense that in generations gone by, there'd have been no question about what we do here. We set a line and say, that's it. You're going to do fair trade. Well, you know what? Maybe manufacturing come back to America. Sure, you're going to have to pay $200 more for a piece of equipment if it's made in America. And that's, okay, exaggeration for people who now send me an email. You got to be kidding. Things will be 20 times more. We have a choice as a country. We can buy cheap junk from other countries, or we can buy better stuff from our own people here in America and tighten up our market. Now, I'm not about that. I think free market, open market's the way to go. But the key to it is fair market. It has to be fair. They put tariffs on our stuff. Now we're just retaliating and put tariffs on theirs. We're trying to bring them into the 21st century here with us. They have to step up to the plate. They have to do the right thing. We're not even talking about all the intellectual property that they steal. You know, they buy stuff and steal it. And then they look at it, take it apart, they reverse engineer it, and they make their own. You know, does anybody think that's a good thing for America? Because it's not. Companies spend hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, doing research and development to create a product. And the next thing you know, the Chinese come up with one very similar, looks almost just like it, because they got some of them reverse engineered and they stole that intellectual property. Not good. So, for this week, ladies and gentlemen, here on Chasing Justice, we have covered a roundabout group of topics. I wanted to say that mostly we're moving through the spring and this season of renewal, and we're heading for summertime, where we're going to have fun in the sun, we're going to have beach days, we're going to have lake days if you're out by the lakes, you're not by the ocean, not everybody is there, mountain hikes and picnics, and we're going to celebrate patriotism in America, we're going to look at the 4th of July and all this stuff that goes with it. Remember, the season that we're enjoying now, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Easter, Memorial Day, these are not things we should just do one day a year. We should look around at the people we love, the people we care about, the people that take care of us and help us, and we should say thank you. We should say, I love you. We should say, you're important to me. All right? And for everybody out there who's lost somebody or you're missing somebody at this, during these holidays, keep in mind, it's my belief that my mom and my dad, who are not with me here, they're in the loving arms of a loving God. And I believe that, and that helps me. And I think, people that you've lost, I think they're there too. So we can all look to be our better selves. And that's really the purpose of this particular episode. I wanted to bring all that together, and I'll tell you, we'll see you very soon here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.